Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
I believe united we stand, and we have common ground to find, and we're going to find it. We're not even going to use it.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind for another busy week, busy summer week in the Capitol. But first, wish I was there. Senator Jerry Petrosky, chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, leads the push to confirm Craig Thompson as Transportation Secretary. More on that soon. Testimony on diabetes in Wisconsin. I ask a researcher, won't Amazon, Foxconn, Haribo, etc. in southeast Wisconsin cause a worker shortage in other parts of Wisconsin? Finally, you'll hear from the author of a book, Tracing LGBTQ Activism in Wisconsin. Wish I was there.
I have known Craig for a long time. I believe that Craig is a class act, and he will do a great job for the state of Wisconsin. I know that there are constantly in the world we live in a lot of sniping going on for some of the secretaries, but I really believe that Craig has been involved in transportation for a long time, and I believe that he will do a good job not only for the governor but for all the citizens of the state. So with that, I move to recommend confirmation by Craig Thompson. I need a second.
Second
by Senator Hansen.
Not only does diabetes impact 362,500 people diagnosed in Wisconsin, but there's another 138,000 people in Wisconsin who live undiagnosed, an additional 1.5 million people who are currently living with prediabetes. However, we know with proper education, awareness, and prevention measures that this isn't the reality that we have to be living.
Foxconn, Amazon, the candy maker, are they taking our current and future workforce at the expense of northern Wisconsin?
The answer to that is yes, to the extent that young people and families from the north migrate down for those jobs. The young people that go to college, where do they go to college? They move south. That's where all of our campuses basically are. It used to be that a significant number of them would go back. The report earlier this spring shows that they're not going back anymore.
In 1966, the Young Democrats were the first political party in the country to adopt a position in support of gays and their rights. It would take another 10 years before the senior Democratic Party would catch up with them, but they would, and that kind of an effort in 82 would lead to bipartisan support in the Wisconsin legislature to pass the first in the nation gay rights bill.
We let off, wish I was there, with that Senate Transportation 4-0 vote to confirm Craig Thompson, but there's more to the story, JR. Fill us in on that background.
There are many layers of that onion. So first off, you know, Craig Thompson is one of several Evers appointees for this cabinet who have gotten blowback from Republicans. The kind of dynamic has been, what will Fitzgerald do, Senate Majority Leader, with these nominations? Will he actually take him to the floor? And so let's take the first piece of that onion. Craig Thompson's work for the Transportation Development Association, which does lobby, but is more of a kind of an umbrella group of road builder interests, right? Mm-hmm. So Craig wasn't really lobbying a lot, but he's part of the bigger industry. Republicans, some of them have complained that he was part of that environment, that it's inappropriate to have somebody from that background leading transportation. Never mind, Democrats say he really understands the issues quite well because he's been part of that industry for a long time. There's that. There's the political piece of this. Don't forget that roads are a big piece of the 2018 campaign. I don't know that was a deciding issue with Scott Walker, but he was beat up by some of the road building industry because of the quality of our roads.
Scott holes.
There is a lingering resentment about that. Now let's talk about the lame duck lawsuits. During the lame duck lawsuits, a period of which the two Dane County judges basically froze everything that happened, like I said, basically didn't exist, Governor Evers took that opportunity to rescind a number of appointments that Walker had made and were confirmed during the lame duck session. That did not sit well with Republicans either because they felt like he was doing something inappropriate, especially with Ellen Novak, who was over the PSC, TW Regents, and another person. So there's that piece of this whole thing. And now let's talk about the votes. There's a 1914 Republican majority in the state Senate. Okay, if you have 17 votes, you would be confirmed. I don't know that Craig Thompson will ever get on the floor of the Senate because of this reason. If you put him on the floor of the Senate right now, he would get 14 Democratic votes without batting an eye.
But in committee, Coles and Petrowski voted for him, two R's.
Yep, that gets you 16.
Yes.
I can promise you there'll be a 17th vote from that Republican caucus somehow if he's put on the floor. The reason I say he might not get that right at the floor is that I don't know how many Republicans would vote no. And standard has been for a long time with Fitzgerald and others leading the Republican Senate caucuses, if you have to rely on minority votes to pass something, you don't put it on the floor.
Right.
And there's no guarantee, no requirement to put him on the floor. I mean, you can go ahead and have Craig Thompson serve indefinitely without doing this. Now, more layers of the onion. If you're a Republican and you're that unhappy about Craig Thompson, you have Steve Noss and Dewey Strobel, both have basically said they're going to vote no.
Well, in that clip, Petrowski said, I object to the sniping. So mm-hmm. he's accusing Noss and Strobel being snipers.
So I'll get to that in a second.
All right.
So that Republican caucus, those two have basically expressed their unhappiness, right? If you were to reject Craig Thompson, who do you think that Tony was going to replace him with? I mean, Craig has not been known as a bomb thrower or a flaming liberal this time in the Capitol, right? He's been kind of an association guy, well-respected on both sides. He worked with both sides of the aisle. Who do you think would replace him? Okay. Now the final piece of this onion. During this whole blow-up about the Thompson thing, one of Steve Noss's aides took shots at Jerry Petrowski. That's kind of a no-no. We all know Steve Noss and Mike Michelson are kind of very close. Mike speaks for Steve quite a bit.
Yeah. Mike is the chief of staff for the senator.
You've got a little bit of a tension there in that Republican caucus because you have an aide taking public shots at a sitting senator.
You've got more than a little bit of tension in that caucus.
Now, that also
on
gets
that
to
confirmation.
One more piece of this onion. That caucus has always had, you know, these tensions. You have a moderate wing. You have a conservative wing, a really, really conservative wing. It is an interesting collection of personalities. So the short answer is, Craig is liked by some people in that caucus, not all, and because of that, I don't know he'll ever get a vote in the floor.
Well, okay, we have to move on. But when reporters asked Petrowski about the prospect of confirmation, he basically said, we'll see, mm-hmm. not promising. Oh, okay, all right. It's just.
And don't forget, he's not the only one. Brad Fawcett, Dat Cap has ruffled feathers of Republicans because of this whole thing with farmer mental health.
Yes.
Don Crim with the allegations or the case from years ago about poking your son with a pencil.
Yeah.
I mean, over at DHS, Palm, because one of the top aides is a former Planned Parenthood person. I mean, there are issues, but again, if you put them on the floor, they get 14 Dem votes guaranteed, and Republicans, are there really that many Republican votes, no votes, any of these guys? I don't know if there are.
So you seem to be saying you cannot see a October vote on any of these cabinets.
Not any of them, no, not on any. But on like Craig Thompson, let's just look at Craig. Craig is one where I'm having a hard time seeing, if you do it, it'd be because you have 17 of the 19 Republicans saying, yeah, I'm going to back Craig. If you don't have those 17, that's harder to see that happening.
Okay. All right. Have to move on. In the wake of the El Paso and Dayton shootings, let's hear what Governor Tony Evers' reaction was immediately after those tragedies. Please.
This type of murderous rampage happened right here in Wisconsin, and so we can't pretend that this is something that only happens in Texas or other places across the country. The bottom line is our legislature has avoided this issue totally. We need to look to our legislator and our leaders, in this political leaders in the state, to do something proactive. And I say proactive is simple as universal background checks that the people of Wisconsin want.
Okay, in the wake of the governor's press conference, then, the governor reached out to Republican leaders, or maybe it's the other way around, and said, let's have a discussion next week about gun issues. Now, let's frame that. We heard the governor call for background checks, but the attorney general says what we haven't seen is debate regarding the red flag law. We haven't seen a debate recently about background checks. It's time for those debates to happen. Senator Fitzgerald was noncommittal, saying, sure, there were tragedies, but as we come back in fall session, our caucus will have discussions around all newly proposed legislation. And let's frame Speaker Voss. I'm interested in talking about things, but I have due process concerns, referring to the constitutional right of due process and the red mm-hmm. flag law. And then let's, on the other end of the continuum, the Wisconsin Carry President Nick Clark, red flag proposal is just about a gun grab. You think they'll meet? You think there'll be any progress? And a footnote, President Trump today, just on his way to a trip, said he endorses meaningful background checks.
So we'll see what that means. At the state level, do I think they'll meet? Yeah. I mean, Robin Voss says he wants to talk about mental health stuff with Governor Evers. There's been a focus on that from Republicans, not just here but nationally when it's come to these shootings. But getting something done, honestly, I don't know what would change. I mean, after Sandy Hook, we had this discussion in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Nothing changed. After Las Vegas, has discussion. There was a brief discussion about banning bump stocks. The feds got on that. State didn't. So what would change this time? If these kids in Sandy Hook aren't enough to spread action, why would this be? There's also the philosophical difference between lawmakers of two parties about gun rights, right? About the effectiveness of a background check. Would it stop these mass shooters? About red flag laws. About, you know, what would have prevented these things? And oftentimes in the aftermath, we see like a lot of hand wringing, a lot of call to action. Time passes and these things go away. So I don't know this is going to change what we've seen for the last several years when it comes to these things.
Well, okay, I just want to add that the Attorney General asked the governor to include in his February budget package a red flag law. The governor chose not to do that. But the Attorney General has not yet drafted a proposed red flag law. Nobody's drafted a proposed red flag law in Wisconsin. And just in hindsight, when the Republicans took control of the Capitol in 2011, we immediately got concealed carry. Mm-hmm. Now, I checked with DOJ, 326,000 Wisconsin residents over 21 have a concealed carry permit. That's 1 in 10 adults. And we also got the Castle Doctrine. So, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign reports that in elections, I think, over the last 10 or 12 years, the NRA has spent $5.5 million. And they tried to help Governor Walker. Mm-hmm. He didn't win. And Attorney General Brad Schimmel, he didn't win. So, really murky whether we're going to see any action in the fall session on guns.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Marquette polls, background checks are very popular.
Yes, it is.
But are they enough for somebody to lose a legislative race? And that's what we talked about before. Like, for Republicans, they're in pretty safe seats anymore, a lot of them. And the ones that, you know, were targeted before in rural areas, I'm not sure this is an issue that really changes the dynamic for them. Now, in a statewide election, it's a different story, especially with suburban voters who, you know, polls have shown are a little bit more open to some of these things than maybe rural voters are. So that might impact a statewide race. But there's no statewide lawmaker or statewide lawmakers, no statewide race for Wisconsin next year other than state Supreme Court and the president.
Okay, which is why I want to stay on this issue in this way. We know that the U.S. House is willing to go further than the U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. So let's just look at the responses from our two U.S. senators to the tragedies in Dayton and El Paso. Republican Senator Ron Johnson, time to reconsider how our society treats mental illness to keep firearms out of the hands of people who pose a danger to themselves and their communities. I just want to say that's not a statement that endorses background checks.
No.
And Tammy Baldwin, 5 months ago, the House passed bipartisan legislation to expand federal background checks to all gun sales. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell must bring this gun safety reform to the Senate floor for a vote. These are predictable responses, but if it's got to move, McConnell's got to go along with maybe what the president said today, meaningful background checks. We'll see what that means.
And what's that mean? I've read national stories saying that people are waiting for a sign from the president about what he would really do, because the president has had a habit of calling for something, then seeing the reaction, then backing away from it. So what's he really want? That might set the tone for what happens going forward.
Okay. Maybe a week from now we'll be talking about whatever our governor, Senate Majority Leader, and Assembly Speaker talked about on guns. Okay, new subject. Emotional testimony at a news conference. Testimony is the wrong term. Emotional comments by Senator Lena Taylor at a press conference. This is an old issue. Should Wisconsin remove the age 35 limit on the statute of limitations for sexual assault of a child? Senator Taylor talked about she was 27 when she recalled the details of her assault as a child. Let's hear that, please.
As a survivor of child rape, this is long overdue. Not just for me, but for so many young people across the state of Wisconsin. Remembering what has happened, it's traumatic. And sometimes it's another trauma that helps you to finally remember. Time to honestly assess the damage, to work through it, is part of what happens. I recall being in law school when I remembered. I recall seeing myself literally looking down and remembering the experience, the smell. But it took years. I was 27 years old. Depending on the state that you reside in, some states give a victim 3 years to come forward. Others, 5 to 10 years. In Wisconsin, if someone experienced sexual assault or trauma as a child, they have until the age of 35 to take action.
So let's go through the details of what SNAP, the survivors, and what the three Democratic legislators are asking. They want to repeal the age 35 statute of limitations on lawsuits for sexual assault of a child. They want to allow victims who could not sue under the current law 3 more years to file suit. And am I right, JR, that if information is offered in a Catholic confessional, this would be covered?
You have to become a notifier of the authority, something like that.
Yeah, you would have to be a mandatory reporter.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, this bill has been around since 2007 and has not had a public hearing since 2009. Is that because we have opposition from the Wisconsin Catholic Conference and the president of Wisconsin Family Action? And we've got their comments up. How come this very emotional bill can't get any traction?
A number of things. One, we've had this issue percolating for a long time because of the scandal at the Catholic Church and the abuse allegations. There is a concern that you open up a window that doesn't have a limit to it, that it becomes, you know, just untenable. And so they thought, God, I don't know, 12 years ago, something like that, 15, that they passed to kind of a relaxation of what was used to be.
Right.
I just don't know that there's a will, political will, to go farther because the opposition from people like the Catholic Conference about this and worries about what's it going to do. If you have a window of a couple of years, 3 years, to file lawsuits that are, you know, was it open season then? What happens? And I don't mean to say that in a way to diminish at all what people have gone through. It's just that there's this fear of what it could look like and what would this mean and what happened. Just a lot of things like that.
Okay, but I carefully read your story on this. And it said that in 2007, when the bill first issued, Senator Darling was on this.
Mm-hmm.
Now Senate President Roth was on this. I think even Speaker Voss was on this. So they just no longer are on it, correct?
I just don't know what I don't know what the will is about something like this. And part of it is you also, this issue's come back up. We're in a kind of a dead period in the Capitol where everybody's gone home.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get a temperature of things because you don't have the caucuses meeting to kind of see, well, where's the caucus at on things like that? So I don't know. Maybe there's a will, but it hasn't been there for a while.
Still no indication that either house is not going to come back until October, correct?
No, I don't. I haven't seen anything different than that. That's the expectation right now.
Okay. Let's talk about a weekly Year of Clean Water story. Mm-hmm. You have four Republican legislators, Coles, Kitchens, Petrowski, and Thiesfeld. They're circulating a bill that you guys reported on that would mandate school drinking water to be tested for lead and contaminated water be replaced, lower the interest rates on public loans to repair water systems, and require testing of drinking water in daycare centers, group homes, and summer camps. Is this a serious starter, do you think?
They have Dems who have signed as co-sponsors now. Also, Stosh Grzynski, who's from Green Bay, Democrat. He also has another bill, a separate bill from that one, talking about helping to replace lead laterals. It's, again, a sign of there is a passion to do something. They want to show they're responsive, but it's what's something they can all agree on and get something done. I don't know what that is right now.
And DNR has found a suggestion that PFAS mm-hmm. may be in two Madison wells.
Yeah.
So the ante keeps going up on clean drinking water.
Yeah, it's not going to go away, and they want to look like they're being responsive to what's happening there. The concern, you can't trust what's coming out of the tap.
Yeah. Okay, one more topic. It's an old topic. You and I have revisited it quite often, but Governor Evers and Democrats said, we are renewing the push to expand Medicaid. That was the subject of the governor's press conference in Milwaukee. 82,000 potentially would be covered, but you've heard the Republicans say about half of those would now have insurance.
On the exchanges, yep.
On the exchanges. And Assembly Democratic Leader Hintz says it's never too late to do the right thing. It's important to keep reminding people across Wisconsin that we can still accept a Medicaid expansion. Before we hear from the governor, who is endorsing specific individual bills on this, JR, any chance in heck?
No. I mean, and kind of like I said before, with this issue, when you look at the maps and the seats that are going to be vulnerable, I don't think or get the impression that this is a defining issue for those races. Now, statewide campaign, obviously last year with Walker, yeah. and with Schimmel, former Attorney General, it was about the threat of losing protections for pre-existing conditions, which is covered by the Affordable Care Act, which, you know, that's threatened right now by a lawsuit. I don't know that this issue by itself is going to turn an assembly or Senate race next year. Republicans have also now found their footing and how they're trying to respond to the pressure of this, saying it's expansion of welfare, which even Republicans will tell you that they kind of got beat up by the messaging of this for several years and really know how to respond. They think they've got a better answer now, you know, the welfare thing. But again, I just don't know that's going to change anybody's mind or really become a huge push that they're probably going to embrace.
Let's listen to the argument that the governor made on Monday in Milwaukee, saying we really do, even though the Republicans ignored it, defeated it, killed it, time to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin. Please.
Expanding the Medicaid program will bring billions of dollars of federal investment to our state to cover more Wisconsinites for less money. We know that 70% of the people in Wisconsin support expanding Medicaid and bringing federal dollars back to the state. We know the legislature did not listen to the people of Wisconsin, so I challenge Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald to bring this to the floor. They disagree with improving our health care system and save taxpayer monies, so be it. They're free to vote against the bill. It's time to do what's right for our state and just say yes to Medicaid expansion.
Now, you've given your stock picker the week off. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's a little slow in the summertime, so he takes some time off sometimes.
However, if there were stock picks, where would Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes' week rate?
Good question. So what we're talking about is that this week it came to light that Mandela Barnes does not have his degree. It was on a questionnaire last year, at least for one media outlet, saying that he had it from a school down south. He says that there's a paperwork issue, trying to work out with the university. And it kind of follows a couple other things. One, unpaid parking tickets. He was late with his property tax payment. You know, we reported out security costs back in the spring. Not really sure that's the same thing, but
it isn't.
There's a collection of instances in where Barnes has seemed to not taken care of his own business, and it's given fodder for Republicans to criticize him. Now, here's what's interesting. Mandela Barnes is a rock star with the base. I mean, I've talked to Democrats about these things. You know, I asked them, like, well, what's going on? And they'll tell you that the base wants Mandela Barnes to come talk. He is dynamic. He is young. He's African-American. He is viewed by some as a future of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. When Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders came to Wisconsin for an Hispanic event in Milwaukee, they did separate events from that. They asked for Mandela Barnes to be there to introduce them.
They asked for Lieutenant Governor Barnes to join Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren?
Because he is somebody that they want to be seen with because he has a certain pull with the base.
Okay.
Now, why is he not taking care of these other things? I mean, look, we remember Mary Panzer years ago, French classes short of her degree from UW. It wasn't why she lost her race.
Governor Walker, few credits short of graduating from MU. Marquette.
Different. Walker and Mercedes graduated from MU. Panzer did
Thank
at
you.
UW.
Okay.
And Mandela, who says it was an aide, you know, that gave an incorrect answer about this. Either way, I don't know this is like, you know, the end-all be-all for Mandela Barnes.
We're talking here about a few credits, aren't we?
Apparently he had finished it's a paperwork thing. He'd kind of gotten there.
Incomplete or something?
He was trying to, yes.
Yeah.
My point is that here's a guy who's got a huge future possibly ahead of him and can't take care of it. And don't forget, too, 2 years ago, his political future was done, right? He lost. He challenged Lena Taylor, sitting assembly member, challenged a sitting state senator in Milwaukee, and got beat badly. Found a job, had great timing running for lieutenant governor, hooked up with Tony Evers. Tony Evers sends Mandela Barnes out, not just to Milwaukee, or place with the African-American population, but around the state, he is very active. He's a great face for the administration. But these things, why can he take care of those things? Well, he is in his early 30s. Remember, your early 30s, Steve? How good were you at taking care of stuff back then?
There was a lot of loose ends.
He also...
He's half the age of the governor. Go ahead.
He's also not somebody who comes from... He wasn't wealthy when he ran for office. There are people who struggle with paying their property taxes all the time in the state. So is that a contributing factor? Not to excuse it, but is that part of it? This is a guy who... Again, 2 years ago, he was out of a job because he lost his race for Senate, trying to figure things out. I don't know. But it would behoove him to get on top of these things because he has a bright star going. I mean, as a side note, as somebody told me recently, this all just really is an indictment of the failure of the state GOP's opposition research arm last election, that they couldn't figure this stuff out.
And now they're playing catch-up.
What were the two big knocks on Barnes last year, right? Something about a lingerie party invitation, and then that Lieutenant Governor, then Lieutenant Governor Clayfish, claiming somebody said she thought he saw him kneel during the anthem.
Fourth degree of hearsay.
With no evidence. That was a knock on Barnes in the last election, and there's this stuff. Not a good look for the GOP's operation.
So if the stock picker were working mixed?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. let's just also note that this was the week that Assembly Speaker Voss has become the new president of NCSL, which is a bipartisan national group. And let's look ahead at next week. Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention. Speaker's Task, that's in Eau Claire. Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality in Milwaukee. Speaker's Task Force on Adoption in Milwaukee. And Brian Hagedorn will be publicly invested. The public ceremony is next
Wednesday. They actually moved. It was going to be in the Assembly Chamber. They moved it to the Rotunda because of the demand to come there and be at the thing. It's going to be at 4:30 on Wednesday now.
Right. Okay. So it's going to be a busy week. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for August 9th.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.